At no time am I playing with y'all.
No use pretending it's all over.
Yeah, yeah.
No happy ending.
Phone it in, dog.
It's all over.
It's a wrap, it's a wrap. Yeah.
Boom. Welcome to the Comedy Outlaws podcast, the greatest podcast in the world.
That's right. Niggas need to leave 5-star reviews again. Let's get back on track. I didn't mean to call y'all niggas.
Yeah, yeah, you niggas. We need your 5 stars, nigga. We the 5-star general, B. You, when you come on the podcast scene, you gotta rate us, man.
I'm the only person like podcasting that yells at his audience actively. Just like, it was y'all not doing enough. Give me money.
You're like the drill sergeant of podcast. Get in shape, get in line. Come on, you maggot. Do it. Get it. Give me 5 stars. That's one. Give me another 4-star.
I mean, I need that positive reinforcement, man. You know, I got imposter syndrome all the time. You know, you gotta. It feels good when people pay you for your services. You know what I mean?
You're right. You're right. We're doing this. We don't have a Patreon for this, so. Mm-hmm. So this will be the last episode.
Did you try to start a Patreon before?
For me?
Yeah. Was it called like a Yo Mike Brown?
Oh Patreon, yeah, I was going to. I was about to, and then
yeah,
I realized.
The saddest tears.
Like, hey, I didn't even start it. I started it, and I was like, I'm not going to do any of this stuff.
You, like, gave a list of things you're going to do on a monthly basis.
I'm going to do this. I was like, wait a minute. Let's be real. I got to do this every month. I gotta do this. And I was like, and what if? Because the thing is this, too, right? If you have your Patreon and you have your tiers, and like, every month you get this. Every month you get that, right? You should be doing it every month. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like when they buy into it, you start doing it. It's like, you have to do it. And when I'm looking at it like that, I was like, okay, if I was a Patreon of somebody and I signed up and I was like, hey, where's my stuff? I'm like, hey, you signed up. Okay, let me get some stuff together. Let me figure this out. I'm like, I'm not doing it.
It's wild because, like, you know, for Media Popcorn, we have like a system now for like doing the Patreon episodes versus the regular episodes. But like, sometimes we'll get people that drop the Patreon. They're like, yeah, it's not as active as I wanted it to be. I'm like, we literally release new episodes every week. We constantly are posting on this thing. We got a Discord. Like, what else? What other interaction are you looking for? This isn't a full-time job, y'all. Unless you want to give me money, and then I can make it full-time. Listen to me.
We do give you money. They're like, we are giving you money. You're not giving enough back. I'm like, I itemized everything you get. Yeah. What'd you get?
Well, I mean, to be fair, we have joked around about like posting dick pics, so maybe that's what they're thinking they're not getting enough of.
It's time.
But that's the OnlyFans. You can't be putting like the gravy on the potato salad. OnlyFans is like the roast beef. That's where you gotta put the gravy on. That's, you know.
You gotta put the gravy. You can't give them the gravy without the mashed potatoes. That's what my mom always told me.
It's so wild. Like my whole time, like, growing up in the suburbs, I was like, I was always told I'm not black enough, but my mind literally works like a black preacher sometimes.
I think
it's like you can't do algebra without the math in your mind. You're like, what?
But nobody's given, no one said it to you, so it's just like, these are just originals.
Yeah, I've never been to church, so it's like at that point, it's like, why am I talking like this?
You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but if you do, you gotta make sure you throw it in a place that needs water, because hydration is important for the play. Like, where are you going with this? What are you doing?
Bro, there was a time when I tried to imitate Jay-Z and I said something like, oh, baby in the bathwater, and like with like I didn't say the whole phrase, like, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yeah, it was just crazy. I don't understand that phrase though. Baby in the bathwater, like, that's,
can't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
But the baby can't fit in the drain where the bathwater goes.
Yeah, but you're still just throwing the baby out.
That doesn't make any logical sense, though. You know what I mean?
What if you're just throwing the bathwater outside? You're not like throwing it down the drain.
What year is this? 1942? What are we talking about?
Yeah, this shit sounds like some slavery ass, some old school ass talk. Nobody talking about throwing a baby with the bathwater when there's Wi-Fi involved. You got to go back. I don't even think there's electricity when this thing was invented. Like, why are you throwing the bathwater out? First of all, what are you when the last time you took a bath and you finished, you was like, oh, I gotta throw out this water. Like, when have you ever done that?
I don't take baths. I don't trust them. I don't trust the idea of just sitting in your filth. You know what I mean?
Okay. I thought it was gonna be like a black can't swim thing. I was gonna go that direction.
You know I could swim. Come on.
Yeah. You can swim, you can read, you are the all-American Negro.
I was the thing white people were afraid of. They're afraid of you for some reason, more to me. But I'm like, I'm
well, the well, what the fuck that mean? For some reason, I can swim, I can read.
No, because you're tall and black, you know what I mean? And the white woman want to fuck you. So it's like, you know, it's dangerous for the white man.
I mean, white men scared of you too. They up on your game. Now they up on your game. Jordan Peele fucked it up for y'all.
He's like, oh, you niggas gonna be nerdy and make cool movies? Okay.
Not on my watch. Tarantino's like, I'm gonna throw a couple more niggas in here just to make sure that y'all know this is my world.
I feel like he purposely had no M-bombs in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood just to troll people.
Yeah.
Like, he had random, like, the past, like, The Hateful Eight, he had a lot of M-bombs, but also he started making fun of Mexicans, and then he just carried that over to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. When Brad Pitt, like, it was like 10 minutes in, he's like, don't cry in front of the Mexicans. I was like, Jesus Christ. By the way, I went to that restaurant that was in that movie. I think it's called Casa Vega. Like, Quentin Tarantino has his own margarita. The drinks are fine. The place sucks, though. The food's terrible. Oh. It was mad expensive too. We went for our anniversary dinner. I felt bad.
Did you? So you didn't like scope the place out? You just knew Tarantino joint.
I had a friend that recommended it. So when we got there, then I was like, oh, this looks familiar. And then that's when you start seeing posters of Quentin Tarantino in that movie and shit. And it's very old school aesthetic, like almost like the lounge from fucking Goodfellas. It was weird. It was like a time capsule, but so was the food.
I think a lot of these places, these like celebrity run places, they'll focus on the decor, like, oh, it needs to look like this, like this, but they don't put the same love into like who is your head chef, who's making the menus.
No, it's funny. Like, have you ever been to Peter Luger's?
Yeah.
So I went to Peter Luger's for my birthday a few years ago.
The one in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah. And I remember like we were eating it and it felt like we were kind of forcing how good it tasted. Because, like, Tati and I went to, like, we found a random steakhouse when we were living in Astoria, like, off of Steinway, like, down the way the fuck down. And, like, it was really fucking good. And we're like, holy shit, this is, like, one of the best steaks we've ever had. Then we went to Peter Luger's for my birthday. And I remember in my mind being like, this doesn't taste that great. And then that New York Times review came out, like, someone who went, like, for the first time in a long time. And they're like, I don't know what happened to Peter Luger, but this shit is whack. Like, I think it got, like, one star or some shit. Like, it was bad.
That's dirty.
But like it's an old place. Like when your specialty drink is mint julep, like that's not gonna
not really bringing them in.
I mean, they go off the name. That's how they get the business. You know what I mean? Like that's like a brand at this point.
I mean, like I haven't been to Cat's Deli in a long, long time, right? But there is the allure of Cat's Deli just has like great pastrami sandwiches, and so like you go to a place like, oh, I'm gonna wait in line, I'm gonna do all this stuff, but it's like once you have it, you're like, is this really great, or did I just get, am I perpetuating this lie?
I think, you know, like, I do think there's something special about the original Cat's Deli. I think that the pastrami is banging, but I think it's way too much, and I think
it's expensive, but yeah, it's good.
It's crazy expensive, and the system's just like, it's a lot. You're just like, this doesn't have to be this intense, you know what I mean? Just for a pastrami sandwich and, like, some fries.
It is. Well, Watch this. Oh, talking about pay disparity.
Watch this.
Yes. That's still what the fuck. We need to have like the buttons. We need to accept this podcast.
Oh, I'm going to start putting some sound drops for the Outliers podcast. I do it for Media Popcorn. It's only fair to do it for this motherfucker.
We have to do it. I was going to say, speaking of pay disparity, the writer's strike.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to do, man. I'm just writing my own shit. I'm working on some stories right now with some guidance from my manager and Tati. I'm working on a horror script. I'm going to be working on like a buddy action comedy over the summer.
Yeah.
And just brainstorming ideas because I gave my manager a list of all these crazy ideas I have in my head. He's like, these are awesome. And I'm like, cool. All right. Let's get ready to start pitching them.
You know what I mean? And once this thing is over.
not unless okay, SAG-AFTRA actually like
they're about to strike too.
Being agree like well, here's the thing though. Here's what's fucked up was the timing, right? Because the DGA right now is negotiating, and they both sides ain't saying shit. So it's very possible for the DGA, which is the in between, the middle fucking child, to make a deal with the studios. And then that leaves kind of like the actors and writers, depending on what that deal is, like kind of like hanging a little bit and having to compromise probably a lot. I think the biggest thing for actors now is the AI shit. Because did you see that Ryan Reynolds Tesla commercial that wasn't real?
No.
Yeah, bro. Like AI is getting, I mean, I already knew this because the way they fucking de-aging people and bringing people back from the dead and technology, yeah. like James Earl Jones, I get it. He sold his likeness for Darth Vader, right? He sold his voice. Because he can't do that shit no more.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But a lot of actors, I don't think they have stuff like that in their contract to, like, protect their likeness and stuff. So for future events, it's like, remember when Kumia was trying to, like, hire, like, book us for his network and shit? And they sent that contract, and they're like, we can use your likeness for anything? I was like, nope.
Nope.
That was the first line. We were like, nope, not going to do that because you motherfuckers are wild.
Oh, man. This is crazy.
Yeah, so SAG-AFTRA, they don't potentially go on strike until the end of June. Their negotiations start in a few weeks, like in 2 or 3 weeks. And so, you know what I mean? Like, if DGA strikes a deal between now and then it kind of complicates a lot of things for SAG-AFTRA and WGA.
It's going to get really nasty. Like, for what I understand from the writers, they're asking for basically 2% of the profits to fund everything that they're looking for. And there's like little sticking points, which I think are going to affect like different parts, like the hyphenate. So like if you're a DGA, WGA, they have the things where like things get cut for time. Like, oh, we're going to cut this thing for time for the script as a director. And WGA is like, no, that's a writer duty because you're changing the script. So for shooting, it's like, if you're a director writer, it's like, people are like, well, no, you can make that decision as a director. It's like, no, but that's a writer's duty. So if it's a writer's duty, then you can't do that thing. And so you shouldn't be working. Mm. What's going to happen, bro? I don't know. It's going to fix itself, but I don't know if people are going to be like watching TV and all that. Like, I hope so. I think we went through the point of like, not social media, but reality shows, also reality television after the strike. And then you're like, all right, cool. We're doing this reality television. And then they're like, okay, now we're rebooting everything. Hey, watch White Man Can't Jump on Hulu. Like, we're just going to reboot everything. So it's like, okay, so you had 100 days. And then you just started putting out, like, that's why Kim Kardashian or whatever got big during that period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, there was nothing else going on. So now you have all these reality shows, and then you're just doing, hey, we're going to do Ghostbusters again. We're going to do this again. We're going to do this again. And you're doing all the same things. It's like, all right, well, none of these ideas are original.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fucking with it. The only, you know, like, they're not good and original. Like, I'm not fucking with it.
Well, that's the thing is, I think there are original ideas out there. And what studios and producers do is say, okay, this is a great idea. How do we intertwine it with IP that people know?
Yeah.
That's everything. Like, that's most of the conversations I've had out here. In California, which is like, that's a dope idea. How can we incorporate it with like public domain or IP? And it's just like, you know, unless you have an original idea that you can like get like act like dope actors attached to it or like a really good director attached to it, it's because that's all it's packaging now. You package shit and start pitching it before you even can pay motherfuckers to be a part. It's crazy how much work goes, and this is what a lot of people don't understand is how much work goes into like creating film and television before you even see a paycheck.
Yeah.
It's just you know, for me, I'm like, man, I'm almost to my 40s. Like, I don't know how much pro bono work I can be doing out here. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I do think though, and I've said this in the previous episode, I do think we are poised, we're in a good position depending on what we want to do with Outliers after the Brooklyn series. Again, starts on Friday, July 7th at the Union Hall in Brooklyn. Get tickets at either AmericanCollins.com or YoMikeBrown.com.
You know the vibe.
But I do think, depending on, I think there's going to be a bigger focus on live events at some point. for people that really fuck with art and that really want to see something different, I think live events is going to become a huge thing. And then the pendulum is going to swing back where you start converting those live events, whatever they are, to television shows or what have you. And it's just cyclical, but it's just taking the CEOs and execs long enough to realize that because they're in their ivory towers.
They're not touching people.
You realize how high up these someone like David Zaslav is not hanging out with regular folks that watch the shit that he thinks that, you know, is making success for Warner Discovery.
No. Of course not. Of course you're not doing that. I mean, they don't, and they don't need to. Like, they're getting banked. They do not care. Like, I think it's the events, big thing, but it's going to be the experience.
Yeah.
Because you remember those times where, like, you go see a movie and it's like, this movie is the event of the summer. It's like, I'm watching a show. I'm watching a thing. It's not an event. But if the movie's good, like I saw Guardians, right?
Yep.
And I was like, oh, this feels like a really dope movie. I felt like I was like on a ride, like, oh, this is dope. This is a dope story, right? But everything else isn't really that. If you're just trying to be like, all right, Scream 6 or here's this thing, or even Guardians, we're going to put them, we're doing this for Christmas. It's just like, I can see that you're just putting out stories just so we can watch them. And it's different when it feels like the companies don't have respect for the audience. That's why I feel at that point, I'm like, oh, y'all don't have respect for the audience. Y'all just feeding us whatever you want. You're just green lighting things to sell things, which I get, but it's like, you're not letting these creators do something dope. You're just like, all right, well, we have this idea on the shelf. We got Sonic. What can we do with Sonic? We got this. What can we do with Winnie the Pooh? It's like what they did with Spider-Man for so long. Like, Sony's like, oh, we got to make a Spider-Man movie because we're going to lose the rights.
And we
got to
retell the Uncle Ben story. It's like, at a certain point, like, you know,
the same guy just keeps pitching the same movie. He just comes in different disguises. Okay, so there's Spider-Man, but there's an Uncle Ben, and he needs to die.
Mm-hmm.
Every movie we're doing this?
Yo, I think that's what Spider-Verse 2 is about. I think Spider-Verse 2, I told Tatiana this, like, because it's a two-parter, right? So, which is dope that they already set up that there's probably going to be a cliffhanger, because I think that's the issue with Fast 10. A lot of people don't know that shit ends on the craziest of fucking cliffhangers for no fucking reason. But we'll talk about that in a future episode. But Spider-Verse, I think that, you know, in the trailer, like Miguel Herrera's like Spider-Man, like 9,000 or some shit, he essentially says like us losing like Uncle Ben, whatever the fuck his name, like him losing like his family, like everyone has a huge loss, right, as Spider-Man. And I think Miles, I think Uncle Aaron didn't count as his like Big Ben loss. You know what I mean? I think like he's like, I love my uncle, but like your uncle was already a villain. Like that was probably going to end up some shit anyway. I think he's going to have to like lose a parent in order to like balance the universe or some shit. And that's what he's trying to stop probably.
Yeah. I mean, and that'll be, that's going to be a lot. Like,
yeah, because
like,
you can't,
your mom,
can't ask some black kid to lose a parent willingly. I mean, come on. Not today, Satan.
Oh, man.
I got a two-parent household. You try to break that shit up? Nope.
No,
but this is all speculation. It could be completely different, but that's just what I'm in my mind.
Oh, man.
I think.
I mean, I'm still going to see it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
I trust them to do right by it, but still, it's like, I don't want to go and see them. Like, come on, Miles. He got a black father who's a cop. He's already messed up in the game. He's failing Spanish. He's half Puerto Rican.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm excited most for Across the Spider-Verse and Mutant Ninja Turtles for the summer. Those are the movies that I'm most hyped for.
Yeah, those are the ones that are like going to get me out to the theater. Like, I don't know what else is coming, and I don't care really.
Yeah, Oppenheimer's coming out, and I'm like, why do we want to watch an all white cast? I mean, it's a stacked cast, but it's all white. I mean, that makes sense because it's a historical piece, and black people weren't fucking around with atomic bombs and shit.
You know, black people weren't in history. That's what's important. To be accurate, like, it's a historical piece.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, low-key, like, I feel like Christopher Nolan ain't ready. Maybe he is, like, secretly conservative, but I don't think he's ready for how much probably, like, the ultra-conservative crowd might jump onto that movie and be like, this is history.
Like,
because it's like American pride and shit. And it's like we're taking it to the man, and it's also like there's no wokeness because there's no black people because yeah. that's the code for that shit.
They weaponized wokeness, yo. They did it.
They did,
they did it.
Well, they weaponized it because the people that are hearing their complaints, they don't have no black friends. They don't fuck with black people. So they just, it's so funny the older you get, how you see how quickly affable some people are because they have no exposure to anything outside their bubble.
What you mean? Explain that.
So, like, it's willful ignorance. Ignorance is, like, someone who could potentially, like, leave their bubble but just refuses to because it's either too complex or they feel like they don't have the will to be able to persevere through any challenges of their beliefs or themselves that they might encounter going outside said bubble, right? And this goes on both sides and shit. But I feel like it's more on the ultra-conservative side because if you try to, like, say, like, no, factually, this is what history is, especially for black people, they'll try to deny it. I mean, we see literally states doing that. They're erasing history.
Yeah.
Which is like, what do y'all expect to happen to these white kids that you're not educating by the time they're in their 20s and they try to go even vacation somewhere and they get the ass whooped?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to fuck around and find out. That's going to be what leads to the race war.
It's going to be like y'all leaving. It's so crazy. If you leave the country now, you feel that they don't like Americans. Like, you've always known it. But now you feel it differently, and with all these countries like not depending on the U.S. dollar anymore,
mm-hmm.
like just like, oh, we're validating our own currency through our own systems. Yeah. It's like as a country, we're losing. I don't want to say power, but influence.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's like we shouldn't have had it.
We are proudly trying to be dumb. Like I've never seen that shit before.
Crazy.
Florida is like celebrating how dumb they are.
DeSantis is going to run for president too. It's going to be crazy.
He's going to run the shit he's doing in Florida, which means that there is an appetite for all the shit he's doing down there. I don't think he's going to win at all in the general election. I would love for him to be the nominee, but then I think it's about, man, if we go too deep down to politics, that's going to be dreary, man, because I don't know what's going to happen in 2024.
I don't know. I'm out the country. If it goes to the realism of it, it could happen this time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'm going to get out the country. I got
to
go.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't had the serious conversation about it, but I do feel like if Trump gets reelected, I got to leave. I can't be here.
Yeah. If he gets reelected or DeSantis or whatever, I'm just like, you know,
it's
man.
It's going to scorch earth for us. And like for black people especially, it's going to be, there's going to be targets on our back.
They're going to, it's like, if you're going to ban the books, I'm not like, they're not going to like bring back slavery, but they could make something worse.
Yeah, they can make it worse. Like, you got a little bit of freedom, but you a nigga.
We're not doing, there's no like diversity. Like what they can do is something like, oh, the HR like diversity clauses and all these things of like, oh, you can't fire somebody based on their race.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to challenge that somewhere.
Yep.
And then the Supreme Court will be like, nope, this person has a point. You can fire people based off their race now, whatever. And then it's like,
same with interracial marriage. Clarence Thomas is in an interracial marriage, and he would still vote to destroy that shit.
Probably is like, I made a mistake. It's like, I made a mistake. I don't want to do this. I'm trying to save my brothers.
That's the thing, man. I think it's we're in a wild time right now, bro. Like with social media and shit, like. You know, Jim Brown died yesterday as the date of this recording, right?
Okay, yeah, let's get to that. Yeah.
I immediately, like, just, like, impulsively tweeted, like, rest in power, sir. Like, I'm going to watch Mars Attacks tonight because I loved him in that movie, right?
Yeah.
And that's before I knew about him, like, you know, in his career. And, Jim Brown was in One Night in Miami. He was one of the characters, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I posted that. And then I started seeing a lot of, like, black women in my feed that I respect. Saying, like, y'all should stop posting about Jim Brown. Like, just Google his name and Playboy Mansion. That's all you need to do. And I did that. And then you find out that he was just beating the shit out of women constantly at Playboy Mansion.
What?
Yeah, he got banned from there. And then he eventually got reinstated because he was such close friends with Hugh Hefner. But, yeah, he has a history of, like, assaulting women, right? It's like Killmonger. It's like Killmonger before he went back to Wakanda, basically. But like his Wakanda was the Playboy Mansion.
Can you shout the girl who stole the thing with him? Killmonger was a monster.
Yeah, he was wild. But yeah, once I saw that, then I deleted the tweet because I'm like, you know what? Like, I can't.
Damn,
like,
bro.
Because I'm not like a stan for him. You know, I'm not the biggest. Like, I couldn't tell you his stats and shit. So I'm like, let me not continue. Like, not faking the funk, but let me not like celebrate this guy that I don't know his whole story.
This is so nasty, man.
And that's the second thing I had to delete because I deleted, you know, unfortunately, a member of our comedy community, Jax.
Deloso.
She obviously was going through some stuff, and there was like a kind of a frantic Twitter thread that was happening that a lot of people were sharing, and I was one of the people that shared the whole Fine Jax thing because I was genuinely worried about her. I met her a few times, and you know, Creek in a Cave, you know, that's where I first met her, like the old one back in New York and shit. And then to find out, you know, unfortunately, that she was having a manic episode and she's no longer with us. Rest in peace, Jax.
Yeah.
But I saw some people I knew who were close friends with Jax say, please stop sharing the Fine Jax thing. Like, it doesn't help. It's also putting a target on this guy's back that Jax had mentioned in her thread. And so I just immediately deleted that too because I'm like, I don't want to keep feeding the fire to that because I started seeing in like the close friends that were posting updates. It took on like this weird, like kind of a unsolved mystery shit on like on social media. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's how quickly things can escalate.
It's so crazy too because I was watching another comedian, Aaliyah Janine, that put up a live stream video where she was just kind of like updating everybody. Her and Carolyn Castiglia, shout out to both of them.
Yeah.
And they were giving updates like, hey, this is what's going on. We spoke to the family. This is what the family's saying. This is it. Respect, privacy. And she doesn't know who the person who's doing the Fine Jax.
Oh.
Okay. And she's just like, what? Who's doing this? And it's like, so now you don't know who's doing this thing. And it's like kind of created this movement. And they're hiding behind a computer and you're like, hey, stop doing it. And their response is like, no, this is what Jax would have wanted. This. And he's just like, what?
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense. Like, how does somebody not related or connected to the person can just, it feels like one of those like meme aggregate accounts where you're just like, I'm taking everybody's meme and I'm just doing it. Or like, I don't know if you saw this, Kev on Stage did the thing with Rap TV where... Yeah. Okay, so remember Jamie Foxx was sick and we found out he was in the hospital and everybody was like, yo, prayers for Jamie, prayers for Jamie, prayers for Jamie. What's going on with Jamie?
Oh, was that the one that posted like close friends are saying pray for him and stuff like that?
Yeah. And then, somebody said that like Rap TV had posted something like, yeah, close friends pray, maybe critical condition or whatever. And his daughter posted was like, hey, like, We already asked you for the privacy. I want you to know that he is out of the hospital. He's actually been out of the hospital for like a week or two. He's actually playing squash or whatever yesterday. Like, stop, right? And then that same place, Rap TV posted an update like, oh, daughter says he's fine, right? But the disconnect is like, yeah, but the daughter also said, respect our privacy when they first gave an update. Like, yo, just respect our privacy. Don't post about just leave. Respect it. And you as a media corporation keep posting updates. So Kev on Stage did like a deep dive and was like, okay, well, who's behind the Rap TV account? And he goes on to LinkedIn. He does some Google searches and you just see it's just nothing but these white people. And it's like all of them, every one of them, not a black person in a bunch, not anybody connect, and I'm not saying you gotta be black to be connected to the culture, but it's like they're obviously they do not look connected to the culture. It's like this is where we're getting our news from.
Yeah.
These internet accounts, you can't see who's behind them. So it's like, what do you trust in? It has the brand, but it's like, what is this though?
It's dangerous, man. It's dangerous. Like it's and then the rumor mill that was happening, like, you know, like with people wondering what was happening at Jax and based on the social media thread that she was posting, as well as what other people were speculating. And it just got messy very quickly. And I'm like, y'all, like, it's okay to feel bad. It's okay to feel worried about someone in our comedy community, but you can't add on. Like, you know, there were some comedians that were saying some really wild shit, like in regards to, oh, maybe she did, you know, you're like, well, yeah, but it was like kind of callous and you're like, what? This is a person, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to speak either way until I hear more about it.
Yeah, I mean, my stance was kind of like, I want and I need to know more. At this point, like at this point in my life and what's going on in the world, with social media and everything, I'm not a person who's just going to jump to a conclusion. I'm going to be like, okay, cool, I'll take that. But I have to verify, I have to check these sources. I have to verify what this is.
Exactly. When you say you were texting a certain comedian that I knew was a very close friend of Jack's, I was like, all right, bet I'm going to wait till Mike says something or someone who I know was a close friend of hers posts some stuff because they were posting. It's like, if you know who was a legit close friend of Jack's, like, then just I just kept an eye out for that. But there was other people that clearly were just like kind of hearing things through the community world and like just adding to the rumors or speculation. It's like, no, I'm going to wait. We'll see what happens. And unfortunately, you know, it's it is a very unfortunate result. And I
it's real hope she was real smart. You know, she was pretty funny.
Sending positive thoughts to her family and stuff as they grieve. Yeah. But it also like made me realize that there's some. Are you part of like a lot of group text threads?
I have a small amount.
Okay. Same. I have like three.
Yeah,
I have three, right? And I'm getting to the point where I'm kind of over group text threads.
Yeah.
Because they're usually only spearheaded by like a few like people in the whole group. And for some reason, these folks don't realize that other people aren't responding to what they post. Like there's been times when in one of the group text threads we're part of where I post some shit and I'm like, oh, okay, niggas ain't gonna respond to that. All right, cool. I'm gonna back up for a little bit. Like that's cool. Usually it's like, hey, anybody
got
show
up for Brandon Collins?
It's usually me asking like, hey, y'all got a show? And it's like, nope. Like, I ain't gonna say shit. And I'm like, I know you got a show, nigga. I see it on your website.
I know you got a show. Give me them shows. Give me $5.
But yeah, I'm like, how do I get out of a group text thread that I didn't create? There's no way to opt out of a group text. I've tried to find it.
I was thinking about, like, I think you have to, like, be like, okay, guys, this was a great text. I think we've come to the end of the road. You have to put a name on a bullet. Be like, I'm leaving this text. I'm muting you forever.
I mean, the best way is just to change your number, right?
I mean, that's like if you got beef in your neighborhood and like you move, you know, your neighbor, you just talk to the neighbor, be like, yeah, leave me alone. But I get it. You got to change it. Or you got to block. You got to block or mute.
I muted the chat, but you still get the alerts, and you know, like.
Didn't you mute the alerts too?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I mute the chat and I mute the alerts.
Yeah, but they just still sometimes for the chat that we're in, it's like it had so much potential, so much. It could have been great. It could have been a contender.
That's the thing too. Is like you realize like because. You know, and I get it, like people go through a lot of shit, but you, especially at this point in our careers, we need to be like mad positive and like hustling and shit.
Yeah.
Like that shit kind of, sometimes my group text threads feel like what you used to daydream when you were after school daycare. Yeah. You sit around with the little blocks and be like, one day I'm going to be a firefighter. You're like...
That sounds like a text that would have probably hit the chat. And you're like,
okay.
Okay?
Yeah. It's like Muppet Babies. That's what the shit is. It's fucking Black Muppet Babies. It's fucking crazy. But so there is, I've just confirmed, there is no way to like opt out of a group. Like you essentially have to have the creator destroy the chat, right?
But how does the creator destroy the chat? You can just pull motherfuckers back in. You can just turn them to like, y'all niggas ain't going nowhere. You fucking can't.
What if the person who owns the chat doesn't even know they own the chat, though? Like, there's a group
thread. You own the chat. You're just in it, though, right?
What did you say?
It's so weird because it's like, you don't own the chat. Once it's there, it just exists now. Like
fuck yeah, yeah, because there's no like moderator on this chat. Like I'm looking at Oh, wait, there is a leave this conversation.
Ooh.
I see a leave. Oh, wait, but this might be because I have all. This is my college friend group, and we all have iPhones. So let me see about the comedian group.
Can I leave that? I'll tell you that group, not everybody has iPhones.
You cannot leave it. You can only leave it when everyone's got iMessages. Damn it, Tommy.
The doors get locked behind you. Yeah. You can't leave.
Yeah, and someone got a droid. You fucked. You were locked in.
You get jumped in and you just get sent 3 memes every hour on an hour that have nothing to do with nothing. Just bow, bow, bow.
I had to start muting some chats because niggas who clearly don't have jobs were texting at 7 in the morning. You're like, it's too early.
Oh man, I roast the group chat. I remember when we used to get like the good morning text. I'm like, yo, why are you texting us good morning?
I mean, it was positive. That's at least some positivity. Now
it was positivity, but it was really also really funny because it's just like, good morning. Like, yeah, I'm just getting up. Like, what do you want? Like, I'm not even here yet. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. It's like, why you say good morning? It's too early for me. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, at least like motherfuckers ain't sending each other booty holes and stuff like that, like some white comics do. They be sending pictures of shits and stuff. I'm like, I don't know. That's not my thing.
And that's not my vibe. That's not my vibe.
If we really want to destroy the group text, that's how we do it.
That's how you do it.
Just send a picture of a dookie.
Who's gonna take a dookie pic and save us from ourselves?
It ain't gonna be me because y'all just post that shit on social media. And be like,
oh yeah,
Brandon's having a breakdown, y'all. Like, I was trying to use this to destroy the thread.
Instead
of destroy it myself.
Print that picture I put on a T-shirt or something, just like from Brandon Collins. What's that? Brandon manages Avant Garde. This art. He was trying to destroy the group chat. Oh man, I think it would spawn a 50-50 text conversation. Why did he do that? Nigga fight. It was just people.
I mean, I fucked up. Because sometimes, you know, group text threads, they can be like right next to like the personal one-to-ones. Yeah. And so I remember like a week or so ago, wasn't like a Friday night. I texted it was after I did that one-liner show and I was like, yo, I'm done with the show. What you doing? And then like, I didn't realize I posted it in the group text. And then Shaq was like, nigga, who you trying to fuck?
It was so random, but it was perfect. It's like, oh, you outside.
I'm like, hey, what you doing? I'm feeling good right now.
So exposed. Like, oh, I'm just, well, no, it's not. It's not. We're trying to get what we do. We're trying to get to the bottom of the sex. That's what we do.
I don't know, man.
We got to figure that out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being back in New York, doing some spots, getting back ingrained in like the comedy scene because I don't know what the fuck's going on. But you know, I share with you this upcoming event that I think we gotta crash just because it's being hosted during Juneteenth weekend.
We have to go.
For
the culture.
Yeah, there's this group apparently that does like drunk reenactments of like popular movies and shit, and that's cool. That's cool, and if you found success in that, that's dope as fuck, right?
Yeah.
But this group recently announced that their next production is Brandy Cinderella.
Oh, that's the Black Cinderella.
Mm-hmm. And we both know that the Brandy Cinderella starred Brandy, of course, and Whitney Houston as the very godmother.
That's right.
The picture of the cast is all white people. They're not a token in sight. So I'm like very tempted, but it's because it's being hosted at a venue I usually collaborate with a lot. But I'm very tempted to like quote tweet that group and be like, so what y'all gonna do about the black shit? Because if that troop that, you know, the picture I sent you was like, we're gonna do a drunk New Jack City. It's just as bad.
Because
I don't think was, I think the prince was a person of color. I think he was like an Asian guy or something. It's not even a white dude.
It's gonna be bad, and I can't wait to go see it. I cannot wait to see it. And I don't want it to fail, but I know it's gonna be bad. I know it's just gonna be a story. Like, I cannot wait to see it. Is it disrespectful? Probably. Is it gentrification on ice? Yes. but I'm gonna enjoy. I'm gonna go and see this dumb ass shit. It's like, what's crazy about it, like saying that it's from a venue that you collaborate with, it's very interesting how those shows get greenlit. You know, not like TV shows, but live shows where you're like, hey, I want to do an event here. And it's like, what event are you doing? Oh, we're going to do Black Cinderella, not Black Cinderella, but Brandy Cinderella. Let me be real with you. Brandy Cinderella.
Okay, cool. AKA Black Cinderella. That's what that's like.
AKA.
Yeah.
You know.
That's like Haley. That's like Halle Bailey's Little Mermaid. It's like, you mean Black Little Mermaid. Like,
come on. Black Mermaid.
By the way.
And then why they couldn't find a Jamaican just to play Sebastian?
I mean,
why
you? It is weird. Dobby Diggs, he does his thing, but like, he's not Jamaican, so it's kind of weird. But he does have some funny shit in it. I'm not gonna lie.
But you couldn't get a Jamaican. You couldn't find.
They could have got Mike Brown.
I would have to respectfully turn it down. I'm like, I would love to do it. I would love to do it. But
come on, you got Under the Sea in your lungs. Come on, man.
Under the Sea. Bullet. Ariel.
You can't say Bomba Clot in a Disney movie.
Bomba's Clot. You have to kiss the girl, man. Then rubber dice, Pike, so. A bit too much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I gotta say, Halle Bailey, she looks nice. But I think they like shrunk her cleavage. All right. Well, I just say it. If you see photo,
like, because you can't have big breasts in a Disney movie, they have to bring.
No,
it down.
It's like the guy who played Namor in Black Panther 2. He said they trimmed down his package digitally.
Yeah, he put that soy out, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He was like, there's a reason why I'm king. Yo,
if I was in any Disney movie or any kind of super, I would just be putting that. Yeah, you know, they had to trim down my package in the movie. Mike, you was an extra. I was too much. They had to.
Isn't that what Jason Derulo said about Cats? He's like, you know, they had to digitally shrink my dick because it was so massive.
But there's no way to like kind of prove it unless it's like a digital artist who really was like, no, we didn't actually, we had to enhance it because it didn't look good on camera. There's no way. Of course, anybody can say that. You could have Ezra Miller playing the new Flash. Yeah, you know, I was in some bad shit, but they had to digitally shrink. They had to digitally shrink it in a multi-million-dollar superhero.
So stupid.
Movie.
So fucking stupid.
That's the greatest thing to do. Yeah, you know, they
just
had
a flood.
It sounds like bullshit. Like they probably did, but it sounds like it's like, hey, you showing people like, hey, this is me. I'm playing Namor in this movie. And it's like, what you? So what, you a fish with wings on your feet? What's going on? What's happening with you? Like, yo,
he's like, yo, but I got Trident. Like, you can't fuck with me. Right. Fuck with me, you know I got it.
You know, I'm out here skiing in the sky. Just
yeah, then it goes flying.
I think it was so big, it goes, and they had to take it down. Yeah, that's what they had to do digitally.
That is one thing. Like it's like, you know, Shuri was able to beat Namor with her smarts, but yeah, he was fucking people up. Like,
killed his mother.
He was skating through the sky, like you said, like roller skating and shit.
This motherfucker would just usher, you don't have to call, kill the mother.
You know, for the longest time, I thought that he did that shit when he slides. I thought that was for real, like regular shoes. So I was training for weeks, my nigga, like trying to slide across a room like that.
With your sneakers? You just fucking up floors?
I just fucking up floors, just tripping and shit.
It sounds like basketball practice. Like
it's like when I try when I Michael Jackson Smooth Criminal video when he does the lean at the wild angle and not knowing that the shoes were cemented into the floor, and that's how they were able to pull that off.
Came out the ground and held them up and all that. Crazy.
I tried to do that. Like I was like, he must have the strongest ankles.
This guy's not even human. He's.
I remember it took me 2 years to learn how to do the moonwalk. I remember there's this kid named Jason who was in sixth grade. Not sixth grade. It was
Jason. Tell me about Jason.
He was black. He was black as hell. But he could do the moonwalk. And I remember everyone was like,
I was worried that you learned it from some white dude.
No. This brother had he would get, that was the first time I saw like, oh, you can get attention. You can get like girls if you know how to do some shit. Like he would do the moonwalk at school dances and people would lose their shit. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna learn how to do that shit.
Jason, my brother, teach me your ways. I want to be the next Black Panther.
He did teach me. He taught me how to do the foot movement, and then I just kept practicing, and then I finally am able to do it, but it's a little rough nowadays. I don't know. Something happened to my coordination.
You do the moonwalk now, they're not going to look at you the same. Like, it's not going to be like, oh, look what he's doing. It's going to be like, oh, look what he's doing.
I was threatening to do a moonwalk like at a Drum Black History show. I was about to do it live. It was at the Bell House, and I remember Gordon was like, "Are you sure you want to try to do this right now?" He's like,
"What was that, the Juneteenth one?"
What
was that, the Juneteenth one?
No. This is at this is like a February, like I think it was like February
Black History
2022, I think. Okay. And like for some reason, we were talking about dancing. Oh, because like, we were doing voguing and shit. And then I was like, oh, I can moonwalk. And then everyone was like, can you? I was like, I can't. But at the same time, I don't want this to be a moment where it seems like I can't.
And now you could have got up and just hit him. DJ, play that beat.
Just do the kick and then do a dance. And then people were like, why you dance like a drunk uncle at the barbecue?
In your mind, you're killing it. You're doing all that stuff. But
oh, that's the worst. Like, that's like the worst, when you think you're killing something and then people are like, that was a thing.
Yeah, like you did something. I was trying to dance to Spanish music, to like Latin music last night, and it looked good. I don't know what I was doing. I was just vibing. I was like, well, this is different than what I'm doing.
Anytime someone says I was just vibing, that means that they like, yeah, I might have been doing my own thing. That's like that's a good scapegoat to be like, you know, I'm just vibing, I'm just feeling it out for myself.
Yeah, just vibing all the way out the door. Why don't you take five to go? Just fucking leave. Oh man. You know what the great vibes are gonna be though? If you're listening right now, what you are, the great vibes are gonna be on July 7th.
That's 10 right. PM. Union Hall, baby. Get the tickets at AmericanCollins.com or YoMikeBrown.com. You can also follow me at American Collins on all the social media platforms. And Mike, how can they follow you again?
Yo Mike Brown on all your social media platforms. Please tap in. It's time to tap back in. You know.
That's right. And at Comedy Outliers on all social media platforms. Let us know like if there's stuff you want to hear us talk about. You know, we back. We always looking for topics. You know, if you want us to talk more about the comedy scene, more about our careers, like figuring out stand-up, what we're looking for from stand-up these days. I think that's important, something we got to talk about. Like, what are we looking to get out of our comedy now?
I think that's probably like, next episode we'll get deep into that. Like, what are we looking for? I think preview right now, too, is like, we've talked about the landscape of things. B's going to be coming back to New York, and so we'll be talking more about just like the New York scene and what it looks like now. What I do think that it's, to me it feels fragmented, but it's only fragmented because like I'm not at the spots where it's like everybody's going.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's also not there isn't like prestige destinations anymore. It's not like you have a cabin. It's not like you have Tommy at the Knit. It's not like you have Creek in a Cave, like, hey, everybody just goes here. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just like a bunch of bar shows that are just like, you just go up and figure it out. But we're going to talk about that because one thing that I think the listeners know about is that we changed the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We saw things that weren't there. We're like, nah, we got to do this Comedy Outliers thing. You know, no, we're doing Pop Americana. No, we're doing this. We bring things to the game. So that's what y'all witnessing again in real time, but new and improved. So. That's right. July 7th, 10 o'clock, Union Hall. Come to Brooklyn. You know the vibes. Get your tickets on sale now. You know what I mean? Tell your group chat to come before you leave your group chats. Let them know to come through. Before you send that picture, Dookie, just let them know that.
That's really fucked up. That because we know the person that doesn't have an iPhone of the group thread. So I can leave. But now I gotta blow up the thing.
The funniest thing was when that person tweeted so-and-so liked the text or whatever, you know, like on your iPhone. It was like, wait, are you?
Wait, for context, folks, you know what, iPhones and chats, you can like add emojis and reactions and shit to text. And we have the friend that has the Droid, he was manually writing out liked this quote, this text or some shit. And then one day he fucked up and did it like a grammatical error or something. And we were like, are you manually responding to these texts? And he's like, fuck you. I was like, wait, no, fuck you. Why are you doing that? That's so much work. You always tell me you can't get on stage because you got a child, but you can manually create reactions to texts. Come on, brother. I love the dude, but Tommy, you out of your fucking mind?
You put a name on a bullet.
I already said his name. I said his name a few minutes ago, I think.
Oh, man.
This nigga's wild. Oh,
man. Shout out to Tommy. Yeah.
All right. But shout out to the listeners, man. If y'all been liking the episode so far, please, please leave a 5-star review. We'll read it on the show. And just tweet at Mike and I. Let us know that you're fucking with the show again. Let us know that you like it. Put it in your ears. That's what we're trying to do, you know?
Yeah. Also, I want to shout out Steve. Spoke to him the other day. Great conversation. And I was telling him, I was like, oh, yeah, me and BB doing a podcast. He was like, yo, hyped. He's hyped for it. All right. So I know it's like, okay, you got it. So he's already like back in. He's like, I didn't know y'all started again. I'm like, all right, I gotta get back on my
yeah, list. we gotta get back on the promo thing. But
yeah, you know, we gotta get a promo again.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Y'all gonna be hearing us on a bunch of podcasts coming up soon. And if there's a podcast you want us to be on, you know, just tweet at us. Let us know what we should be doing, yo.
Yeah. So yeah, other than that, I guess we out.
Yep.
July 7th, 10:00.
Get your tickets. AmericanCalls.com or that Mike, YoThatMikeBrown.com. Because you got so many fucking domains, man.
You can go to OhThatMikeBrown. It's going
to
redirect.
I told you to just kick what? You got multiple. But you're crazy.
Yo, Mike Brown. Because people like you keep bringing up the old one.
You're spending so much money on GoDaddy.
I just say give the money. GoDaddy. Go ahead. Go. Be free. I've been giving them. Listen, Yo Mike Brown. Go to Yo Mike Brown. Get the tickets. Links up there. AmericanCollars.com. Get the tickets.
That's right.
Come through. It's gonna be nice. It's gonna be a vibe.
Bang, bang.
Yeah. Phone it in, dog. It's a wrap.